The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 18 verses 21 to 35. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, the man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell to his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay everything back. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, or 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of us, or each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Now, in the version of the Bible I was studying for this particular sermon, it wasn't the New International, or sorry, the New Revised Version that we are looking at in our scripture reading today. It was another version, and it talked about 10,000 talents, not 10,000 bags. Okay, and it talked about 100 gold coins, but it was 100 denarii. So if you can just remember that, because as I go through, I probably will miss those little nuances. So we're back in the second half of Jesus's teaching about forgiveness. And we're picking up again Peter's conversation with Jesus about forgiving someone in the church. So how many times are we really supposed to forgive someone who has wronged us? Is it 77 times, as the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible has it? Or is it unto 70 times 7, as my trusty King James Version of the Bible has it, which is 490 pronouncements of forgiveness? The question seems to infiltrate the hearts of so many Christians. It's a kind of hawkishness that approaches faith, not on the basis of relationship with Jesus, but as a task that has a checklist of do's and don'ts. And so long as we stick to the do's and don'ts, then we'll be fine. In many of the textbooks and handbooks that I've read around pastoral care, this is especially synonymous of parishes that are dying. In such parishes, the priest stands for Jesus, and time after time, in a roundabout way, the people frustratingly shout out, just tell us what to do. Or again, in a roundabout way, they shout to the priest, just do it for us. So this this approach is not about grace. It's not about love, and it's not about relationship, and it's not about community. It's about just getting by. It's about just surviving and doing what we're supposed to do, just ticking the boxes. Such a posture, for example, hears Jesus' words and they figure they've got to figure it out. Jesus says to forgive 77 times or 490 times. So that's what we will do. And I'll keep a running count just to make sure that I get that number right. I'm very sorry, my friends, but that isn't, it's not about the maths. And it isn't about the organizational gymnastics of doing what we're supposed to do. It isn't about just ticking the boxes and ticking the checklists. It's about the very nature of forgiveness itself. It's about the generosity of spirit that Jesus is asking us to have and the way that we approach our relationship with Jesus and our neighbours also. Peter thinks he's being super generous when he wonders if he should forgive up to seven times. The rabbinical custom, after all, was to give up to three times, and then punishment will befall the individual where he or she sinned a fourth time. Now, if you want to do a little bit of extra study on that, in first and second chapters of the book of Amos in the Old Testament, that refers to that custom. Peter not only doubles the expected number of three, but he adds one more to it, perhaps knowing that seven is considered the perfect number. And seven is the number associated with God in the Old Testament. So, good old Peter, always going that extra mile to please Jesus. Yet, in response to this seemingly logical question, Jesus throws out an unquantifiable figure. It could mean 77 times, or it could mean 490 times. But poor Peter just wants to know what he's supposed to do, like so many of us, a servant. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, doesn't it? It isn't a lot. It's an impossibly gigantuan, astronomically absurd amount of money. It's more than a lot of money. It's gazillions of dollars. A single talent was 33 kilos of silver or gold. That, if it was silver, that would be the equivalent of 15 years' wages in the first century Palestine. The amount this servant owed was equivalent of 150,000 years' worth of income. In June 2018, 1 gram of silver was worth 38 American dollars. That would make our 10,000 talents worth approximately $1,416.57 American. So the people hearing this parable would have literally laughed out loud at such a comically high amount. This was like saying a gazillion dollars, which is not really a figure, but you know what I'm talking about. So, of course, the servant can't pay it because he can't live, you know, 150,000 years of life. You can't live 150,000 lifetimes to pay it back. Thus, when the servant asks for forgiveness, the king says about this ludicrous amount, says he's forgiven. But then the servant runs into someone who owes him 100 denarii or 100 silver coins and demands that he pays what he owes. Now, you may be expecting that this is a tiny amount of money, but not so. A single denarius was worth a day's wages to an unskilled worker. So thus the amount that the servant is owed is just over 3 months' wages, which is not an insignificant amount. Yet compared to the 10,000 talents or the 10,000 bags that he owes the king, it seems like it's next to nothing. The king therefore defaults on his offer of forgiveness, and because the servant doesn't show mercy as he did, the servant is sent away to be punished. Now, to Peter and those of us who are hawkish, those of us who think that faith is about doing what we're supposed to do, Jesus is offering another reality. He's showing us a different reality. Jesus is saying, stop asking questions like, how much should I forgive? Because the person who is counting the number of times he or she should say, hey, you're forgiven, isn't actually forgiving anyone at all. If you have to ask, you're not really forgiving. They are just biding time until they think Jesus will give them that reward. Furthermore, the parable isn't saying that we should just keep on forgiving and forgiving without even thinking about it. After all, how can your heart truly be in forgiveness if you just keep hitting the forgiveness button? The entire exchange with Peter and the subsequent parable are all part of an invitation into a new way of thinking. Peter thought 7 was a pretty high number. The servant thought 100 denarii was a pretty high number. Neither meets anything in comparison to the 10,000 talents or the 10,000 bags, which is the symbolic image Jesus uses to illustrate the magnitude of everything we owe to God. We squabble over matters we think are huge, but in the context of God, they're only tiny. We scream at the young man or the young woman at McDonald's drive-thru who messes up our order for the third time. And we demand a refund, don't we, John? Yeah, we do. We do. We refuse to speak to someone because of a petty squabble from years back. Meanwhile, we have the nerve to ask Jesus, how many times should we forgive? We don't get it. We just don't get it. And we never have. But Jesus offers us a chance to get it. Even now, he still offers us that chance. He offers us the chance to think of forgiveness not as something we keep track of and not as something we just keep doing without thinking, but as something we should do in the context of our relationship with God. If God loves us so much that God continues to forgive us whenever we ask for it, can we not do the same? But Peter and his antagonistic 21st century parish counterparts, that's me and you, cry out that folks don't deserve that much forgiveness. God doesn't measure forgiveness in what we deserve. He measures it in love. Agape love. Agape love. I don't know which way you say it, but agape or agape love. So the big question is, why can't we? So at Christchurch Melton, let us move away from this outdated and false model of quantification and the question of whether a person deserves so much forgiveness. If we are truly in relationship with God, a relationship built on love, then we forgive as God forgives. Not as humans forgive, which is to say with conditions and with a calculator. True love, godly love, agape love, doesn't work like that. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Let's pray. Father God, may our forgiveness be grounded in the love and forgiveness that you have shown us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.